Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their communities dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsin has one of the higher closure rates in the U.S. for charter schools. A new report lays out the challenges. Here's Mike Moen.
Charter schools, which receive public funding but are often run by private entities, are billed as alternative learning environments for families who feel they need more options. But the new findings show nationally, more than a quarter of them close by year five, with rates worsening over time. Wisconsin is among the states with a closure rate of at least 45%. Jenny Hofschulte of the Wisconsin Public Education Network says families enrolled are less scrambling when a charter school abruptly closes.
That's 45% of those families put into a lurch and having to make pivots and new choices for their children.
The report from the National Center for Charter School Accountability cites low enrollment, along with fraud and mismanagement, as the top factors behind the closures. Backers of charters say despite these issues, these schools are sometimes still the best options in underserved areas. Hofschulte acknowledges some families might be happy with their charter school, but adds the push to authorize these sites over time ignores the root issues that hinder educational outcomes.
When you look at student outcomes, like, poverty plays the biggest role in it, but we're not talking about how to address poverty in communities. We're saying, like, well, it must be the public school system, so we'll do this other thing. You know, a charter will be better.
The Milwaukee public school system recently dealt with a financial scandal. Hofschulte says that shouldn't be taken lightly, but she suggests those examples are scrutinized more than the shortcomings of charter schools. According to state data, Wisconsin currently has 226 charter schools in operation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Bulls tonight in the home opener in Milwaukee. Brook Lopez on the new look to the Bucks backcourt.
For us, it's all about knowing our next job, trusting one another. So I know that our guards like Dame, Torian, GT, all night, they're going to get in their guys, give them one option, make them do something. And so we just react.
College football, the Badgers host number 3 ranked Penn State. Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. Wisconsin is 5-2 with 3 straight wins. Penn State undefeated at 6-0. NFL, the Packers head to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars on Sunday. Yesterday, the Packers holding a long practice in pads. Coach Jeff Hafley.
Today was our best Thursday practice we've had. Like, and that's not coach speak. I'm not going to BS you guys. It was. The energy was there. The execution was there. Guys are taking ownership because they're running stuff that they believe and they are good at, and they're getting confident in it.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wear a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
She rattled the ass in my plastic cup. Yes, ma'am, fill her up. Tell me something good that I don't know.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. And as promised, on the line, Senator Ron Johnson. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. Hope you are, too.
All right, Sandy, you had a question you wanted to ask the Senator.
Well, I did. Senator, I presume you wanted to be on the show, and it's in many respects like acting in a surrogate role for the candidate for president. So I thought we'd ask you a question that would be the question we'd like to ask him. And so this is economics. The people talk about how the various candidates poll with respect to their ability to handle the economy. But and there's a lot of talk about the economy looking backwards. We don't talk about the Pence period. We talk about the Trump period. But apparently the Republicans want to talk a lot about the Harris period with the inflation that occurred in the first couple of years. But what the public wants to know about are the policies that are going to be implemented in the future. And both candidates have talked about the policies they want to implement in the future. And the financial community, the economic press, the financial press, the financial community have reacted to those proposals. And they've concluded that Trump's plans will do considerably more damage to the economy and will provide inferior results for the economy than the plans that have been discussed in detail by the Harris campaign. And what the people are talking about that they worry about with respect to the Trump proposals are across-the-board tariffs, which promise to be inflationary, which promise to be a tax paid by American individual consumers or the American companies that import goods, that those tariffs will disrupt the supply chain and will prompt increased tariffs on American goods, a trade war with other countries, and would produce nowhere near the amount of revenue to offset the reduction in revenue with the second issue that the financial communities find problems with, which is the announced plan by Trump to substantially reduce corporate taxes and other taxes, which will be inflationary to the extent they aren't offset. And there's no opportunity to offset them with the revenue to be derived from the tariffs. Number one, they won't develop enough revenue, or two, if they're simply negotiating items, they'll be negotiated away. And then the third issue they're concerned about are massive deportations, which they believe will reduce the rate of growth of the GDP based on the contribution to the growth rate of the GDP of the millions of people who are in this country who might get deported. So that I guess I'd like you to comment on all of that, because I think everyone is worried about the economy going forward. What are the policies going to be, and how are they going to affect the economy?
Well, that was a pretty good dissertation there. I would just point out that under Trump, wages were up, I think, 7.7%. We did have a record economy until the COVID recession hit. I would credit primarily President Trump's dedication to reducing the regulatory burden. If you're a small entrepreneur, you understand the harmful impact of regulations, all the barriers to entry created by licensing boards, that type of thing. So you know, President Trump is definitely dedicated to that. Obviously, does not want to increase the tax burden on businesses. We had a huge tax cut for every American, and pretty well paid for itself had it not been for the COVID recession.
Well,
we've got we've got more than a $4 trillion tax increase that's going to kick in automatically in 2026 on Senate Finance. We're looking at that right now. From my standpoint, what I'm going to be pushing for, and you know, President Trump's not going to be able to implement this stuff on his own. He's going to have to come to Congress. I'm on Senate Finance. What I'm pushing for is this opportunity to simplify and rationalize our tax system, which is what I'd like to do. So we've got to everything in the top.
Senator Johnson, how does that square with any of the things that he was asking about what, you know, former President Trump?
You're asking about the economy. You know,
well,
President
no,
Trump,
but I would.
I think President Trump does want a world free of tariffs, but that's not the world we're in. In his previous administration, he used tariffs to try and get people to comply with things. For example, one of the reasons he was able to secure the border was he threatened tariffs against Mexico. So I view his talk of tariffs as more threatening to get people to behave properly, to engage in free and fair trade,
Senator, when Donald Trump,
I would not support across the board tariffs either.
Yeah, well, okay, well, but when Donald Trump talks about tariffs, he talks about using the revenue from the tariffs to offset the revenue reduction from his tax reductions, and he talks about how tariffs are going to generate so much revenue that he'll be able to fix the healthcare system with all of the surplus revenue that'll be derived by it. I mean, he's hanging tariffs out to the public as a tax which he describes as being paid by foreigners, which will then fill the coffers of America and allow him to solve problems, which you seem to agree is a fallacious promise.
Well, again, first of all, he has a record. It was a successful record versus Harris and Biden. 40-year high inflation, the dollar you helped start the Biden administration is now worth 83 cents. A war on fossil fuel, which is insane. You know, everything, you know, an open border.
Well, now, the fossil fuel.
I mean, everything else. Well, so Democrat governance has been a disaster.
Well, Senator, a war on fossil fuel, but the production of oil has reached record levels under Biden. So, I mean, we're not suffering from a shortage of oil production. And furthermore, the debt level that was incurred under Donald Trump has exceeds under any measurement has substantially exceeded the debt level contribution to the national debt under Joe Biden. So, I mean,
well, so because we're limited in time, Senator Johnson, are you willing to, and is President Trump, former President Trump, willing to adhere to the outcome of the elections, to say that, you know, if Kamala Harris wins, we support that and we're going to accept that?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, unfortunately, you know, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a governor who vetoed the types of bills that would restore confidence in our election system. So you're asking me a hypothetical question that I really can't answer because I don't know, you know, how many different ways Democrats are going to want to cheat here.
Hang on a second, Senator Johnson. Calvin, can you play that cut? All right, do we have it?
51,000 more votes than Trump got.
I'm a good friend.
So listen, collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes. 51,000 more votes than Trump got.
I'm a good friend.
Trump lost by 20,000. And Trump got all the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates.
He would have won.
So, Senator Johnson, that was you in the 2020.
And in that same election, 170,000 ballots were improperly cured. You had balloting in the park in Madison. We had people voting in nursing homes without the proper supervision. We had Zuckerbucks taking.
None of that was proven.
All kinds of irregularities that occurred in 2020.
Senator Johnson, 60 different court cases didn't bear that out, sir.
Most of those never even looked at the evidence. They were just because of the moot.
So, Senator Johnson, I have to ask, I have to push back on that. So you're telling me that the courts did not look at the evidence because the courts are slanted towards Democrats? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. In Wisconsin, for example, they used the cloak of latches, and they didn't really look at the evidence of the case. And that happened across the board. There were a few courts that actually did look at evidence and dismissed cases.
Didn't Justice Gableman spend a year and a half and over $1 million investigating all of what you're talking about? It didn't come forward with any proposed litigation or prosecution.
Well, there are all kinds of bills that the Republican legislature proposed and passed that the governor vetoed. I mean, for example, we still haven't cleaned up our voter roll. I mean, we've got 7.5 million voters on our voter roll, and only 3.5 million are eligible. What's that about? Why don't we clean up those rolls?
Well, Senator Justin,
there's so many things we could do to restore confidence, and I'm not looking for a partisan advantage.
Well, Senator Johnson, you are a United States senator. You are a United States senator, and others are telling the American people that our system of elections is not fair and right and just. And you think that's a good thing long term for this society?
We do things that we recommend other countries don't do in terms of secure elections. Again, Democrats, I mean, for example, are you going to vote yes on the amendment that would change our Constitution so only citizens can vote?
It's a ridiculous statement.
The amendment already, our Constitution provides for that. Our Constitution already provides for that.
We're clarifying it that only citizens.
Also, now we're clarifying. But why do we need to clarify it, Senator, when it's already there?
Because Democrats want to make it easy to cheat. We're trying to prevent.
Senator Johnson, sir, with all due respect, to say that Americans that are Democrats are cheaters, really, you know, that's not very becoming of a United States senator, sir.
Democrats in power are trying to make it pretty easy to cheat. They were opposed to the SAVE Act, which just would require proof that you are a citizen. If it's illegal for non-citizens to vote, why not make
Senator Johnson, you are implying that Democrats cheat and Republicans don't. You clearly are stating that.
I think it's obvious that one side of the political spectrum wants to secure our elections, put in control so that everybody has confidence in the result, and the other side wants to make it just easier to cheat with things like mail-in balloting, no voter ID. I mean, you've got the Attorney General of the United States opposed to voter ID when 80% of Americans support voter ID. I'm on the side of the American public here. I'm just talking about elected Democrat officials who want to turn this into a one-party nation. That's their on a mission to do so.
Senator Johnson, thank you very much for the time. Thank you very much for the call. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. You heard it for yourself. That was Senator Ron Johnson. Up next, you and your responses on the other side.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit! man. I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Harappa way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I?
Sandy, you're a deep guy.
Well, I think Michael
Perry
Jackson.
Perry Como and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, okay. It's a big bracket. It's a big tent. It's a big
back,
tent.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Sandy, I think Senator Johnson kind of got a little more than he bargained for. Let's go to the phone lines and our colleague, Maggie Dawn. Good morning to you, Maggie. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Great job with the senator. Bravo. You make me very proud to work with both of you. I have three brief points. First of all, what Senator Johnson said about the legal challenges to the 2020 election is a lie. It is at best an oversimplification. I was the lawyer defending Milwaukee County when we were sued by the Trump campaign following the 2020 recount. I was Milwaukee County's lawyer during the 2020 recount. I can tell you that the Trump-appointed judge, Brett Ludwig, in the Eastern District of Wisconsin, was presented with the entire factual record from the recount, as well as every factual argument and every bit of evidence the Trump campaign had to challenge the result in Milwaukee County. And the Trump judge, Brett Ludwig, rejected every single claim, all of them. Secondly, his comment about the voter rolls is so misleading that it is itself a lie. What he's talking about or alluding to are people who haven't updated their addresses and may not have voted in a while. It doesn't mean that their voter registration is suspect or invalid. It just means they haven't voted and updated their information. To remove people from voter rolls is to make it more likely that fewer people will vote. And that brings me to point three. The entire Republican agenda for the last 20 years is to reduce and suppress the vote. because the demographic reality in this country is that we are moving to a more center-left place that is more diverse, with more people that reject Republican policies. And so the Republicans need to cheat. It is the gaslighting of America, and the senator should be ashamed of himself. Thank you, gentlemen, for what you did this morning.
All right, Maggie, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, no, she's right. She's dead on. I mean, the fact is that gerrymandering was the Republican form of trying to get a leg up. And their only process now for defeating people, defeating the Democrats or the demographics, the inevitable demographics, is to suppress the demographic. So, you know, I think both parties have work to do. I think the Democratic Party has work to do to reach out better to the rural voter. And I think the Republican Party, rather than suppressing the vote, should do a better job of reaching out to those votes who they would otherwise choose to suppress.
All right, let's go to Naomi from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Naomi. Thank you very much for the call and listening. You say what?
I say that Ron Johnson is out of touch with reality, has no concept of the average American, what they want, need. He outright lies about the election. It's just astounding that a senator will just come out like that and just lie. We remember how it was when Trump was in office. I'm a small business owner. We nearly went under because of what happened, how he handled COVID and everything. We have grown back under Biden. And I just, that's what I wanted to call and say. He outright just lies. And he does not represent what we actually, it's not a majority, but what a lot of us feel about how the economy is and how the Trump administration was. And I applaud you guys for how you fought back against his lies about the court cases. You guys do a marvelous job. And Maggie, I believe that was her name that was just on.
Right.
Put it point blank about how those court cases went. He did not win any of them. There is no proof. But nobody wants to listen to it because they constantly are in the right-wing conservative media bubble and will not come out of it to look at and face the facts.
Hey, Naomi, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Troy from Mount Hope. Good morning to you, Troy. You say what?
Good morning. And both of you did a fantastic job not letting him just spew his lies. To everybody on that side who thinks that there's shenanigans going on voter night, come to the polls. I work the polls. And I know we have openings in Mount Horeb. I'm sure all the rest of you have openings in your districts. Ron Johnson, you're not on the ballot. You can vote. You can work the polls. Come and see how it's run and that there aren't any shenanigans. And one more thing, if you take, as Maggie said, if you take off people who just haven't voted for a while, that's going to slow down the process immensely when they come in, because this is going to be a popular election. So they come in and want to vote. And now I got to add them back onto the voter roll. That's going to take extra time and slow down the process.
Hey, Troy, thank you very much for the call. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. What do you say about the senator, Senator Ron Johnson? 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
covering the games and biggest sports news. Listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin has one of the higher closure rates in the U.S. for charter schools. A new report lays out the challenges. Here's Mike Moen.
Charter schools, which receive public funding but are often run by private entities, are billed as alternative learning environments for families who feel they need more options. But the new findings show nationally, more than a quarter of them close by year five, with rates worsening over time. Wisconsin is among the states with a closure rate of at least 45%. Jenny Hauschulte of the Wisconsin Public Education Network says families enrolled are less scrambling when a charter school abruptly closes.
That's 45% of those families put into a lurch and having to make pivots and new choices for their children.
The report from the National Center for Charter School Accountability cites low enrollment, along with fraud and mismanagement, as the top factors behind the closures. Backers of charter say despite these issues, these schools are sometimes still the best options in underserved areas. Hauschulte acknowledges some families might be happy with their charter school, but adds the push to authorize these sites over time ignores the root issues that hinder educational outcomes.
When you look at student outcomes, like, poverty plays the biggest role in it, but we're not talking about how to address poverty in communities. We're saying, like, well, it must be the public school system, so we'll do this other thing. You know, a charter will be better.
The Milwaukee public school system recently dealt with a financial scandal. Hauschulte says that shouldn't be taken lightly, but she suggests those examples are scrutinized more than the shortcomings of charter schools. According to state data, Wisconsin currently has 226 charter schools in operation. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're getting on in years and trying to get on the Golden Bachelorette just to meet girls, here is one girl you will not have a shot at. Martha Stewart told Andy Cohen on his Watch What Happens Live podcast that she would never appear on the Golden Bachelorette, not even for big bucks, because the guys aren't hot enough. Soap icon Susan Lucci also stated she was contacted by the show, but declined. Are man boobs and beer guts out? Did I miss a meeting? Ted Danson and Kelsey Grammer have finally buried the hatchet and ended their decades-long feud. On a recent episode of Danson and Woody Harrelson's Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, the two discussed their 30-year tiff. Danson said he recalled getting angry at Grammer on the set of Cheers, and it just sort of stuck for three decades. Danson apologized to Grammer on the show, who said he had no hard feelings and all is now well. Thank goodness. In a related story, Ted Danson and Kelsey Grammer were in a decades-long feud. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Mino and the Mayor.
We have with us Beckett Kay, who is a 9-year-old podcaster. Who's your favorite player then? I mean, you like
on the Ravens?
In general.
In general. Oh, let me guess.
I know what you're going to say, and Patrick, I'm not going to like it.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't like your sarcasm.
We're talking at break, too. All right. I happen to like
it's
you guys.
Justin Jefferson.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Oh, Sandy Williams.
Yeah.
Voice Your Choice. That's about 1967.
Yep.
Isn't that something that I remember that?
I think exactly. Correct.
I know, man. And maybe I haven't heard it since 1967. Welcome back.
By the radiance.
To the Earl Ingram Show. Can't believe you played that.
Voice Your Choice.
Yeah, that you found Voice Your Choice.
Yeah.
You know, 67, I was 7 years old.
Well, I was older.
And I remember Voice Your Choice. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can just 67. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy Williams. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams.
You should see the video of them singing this. Actually, you can see the you can throw yourself back in the time machine because it is ancient stuff.
Yeah. Well, you mean to tell me
the radiance?
You mean to tell me that was ancient times that we were living in,
dancing and singing?
Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to us, Brendan. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Great interview, you guys. I just wanted to make a point that I think that what I heard, what kept ringing in my brain as he was speaking is the desperation the Republican Party is facing for him to call and do an interview where obviously he was going to be up against some tough questions and some smart individuals that knew facts. That's all.
Hey, Brendan, great stuff, man. Thank you very much for the call. Calvin, you got some texts.
Yeah, we got some texts on the 855 number. We had Mark from Prairie du Sac said, non-citizens are not voting, and how can you secure the vote when you are engaged in a conspiracy against the American people, Senator Johnson? We have VP Harris saying, or we have Eric from Tulsa saying, VP Harris says she will put a Republican in her cabinet, and he says Democrats want a one-party nation. Projection 101. And we also had Jim from Genesee Depot who said, unlike most, I don't think Rojo is out of touch with most Wisconsinites. I don't think he's ignorant of what people need and want. He knows he is on the wrong side of those lists, and that's why he doesn't hold real town halls and engage in crowds that ask real questions.
Calvin, thank you. We'll go right back to the phone lines. Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Boy, you and Sandy hit it out of the park today. What a perfect timing to have that. Ron Johnson and all his followers, I just have just two questions, real simple ones. Are we in such rough times that we need a convicted felon, 36 convictions, a convicted felon and a sexual predator in the White House? When has America been in that dire straits? That's what they need to lead our nation. And then another thing, I don't know if anybody's aware of this, but let's say Trump wins. Let's just say that. Guess who validates him? Kamala. And if you think Kamala is going to validate somebody who 14th Amendment Section 3 can't really be validated, I guess we may have a come-to-Jesus moment that this country needs as long coming.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Cindy from Appleton, you're up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to disagree with that guy a little bit I just lost my train of thought. Anyway, I'm calling because I just wanted to say that Ron Johnson is a box of rocks. To this day, I cannot understand how that man got elected in the first place and how he continues to get elected. He does not represent, he's just like the criminal, the felon. He does not represent anybody but himself and his right-wing wackos. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't care about children. He doesn't care about small businesses. He is a man for himself, just like the criminal. And I just, for the life of me, am just beside myself thinking that not only might he get elected again in another year or two, but that Felon is going to end up being our president again. And this scares the bejesus out of me.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
good morning. Thank you, guys. I need more blood pressure medicine. No, I don't have any, but I'm going to have to be on real soon. Okay, and I got to say, Johnson, are you kidding me? This is me speaking, Jean from Eau Claire. In my opinion, you are the guy that should have been investigated or indicted as a co-conspirator of January 6th reaction, carrying the fake electors, Ron Johnson. You're lucky you're walking around free, and then you've got to come on and spread more lies. I hope they're keeping track of all this evidence. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I for the life of me, you and I, like I said, we've been around a little while. The fact that a United States senator can give such simplistic answers, well, Democrats lie. Well, Democrats want to cheat. What is that?
Well, what's interesting to me is that the process of is all supposedly in response to a lack of confidence in elections. But the lack of confidence in elections is only because of people like him
yes.
talking about all the things that they have essentially assumed or made up about the election process. The election process in the United States has for decades been very solid, scandal free. Okay, and the number of fraudulent votes cast in this national election could be counted on two hands in all likelihood. And of the cases that were caught, at least as many of them were Republicans acting fraudulently as Democrats. And so, you know, I just think this is a lot of projection. I think the Republican process of gerrymandering was so cynical that they believe that there are cynical forces at work trying to play with the election system because it's something that they have been very focused upon themselves.
But, Sandy, but to say that Democrats just want to stay in power. What is he talking about? What the reason they gerrymandered, Sandy, is what? So they can stay in power.
Yes, I mean, I think incumbency has become far too important to incumbents overall, and you know, the political system needs to be watched carefully. But what doesn't need to happen is to sacrifice the confidence in the election system in order to secure power. And that's really the dangerous thing that's happened here, is the MAGA movement has decided to sacrifice public confidence in government and public confidence in the very backbone of our government, which is elections, in pursuit of the continuation of their power.
You know, Sandy, we have listeners from the other side. I wonder, they heard that. I wonder if they condone a person who is a United States senator just falling back on lies that, hey, the Democrats just want to cheat. That's all they want to do. How can you have any conversation and dialogue as a Democrat, Sandy, with a senator who sits across from you who thinks that all you do is lie and cheat?
Well, it depends. I think that, unfortunately, we have a semantics problem here because I think the Republican version of the word cheating includes facilitating the vote of as many people, of as many American citizens as possible. And that doesn't redound too much to their benefit. So their version of cheating has been to make voting easier. And they want to create the illusion that making voting easier is going to make it far easier for people to vote illegally. And this talk about, for instance, proof of citizenship when voting, okay? A very small percentage of Americans have passports, which is a fundamental way to prove citizenship. The other fundamental way to prove it is to have your birth certificate, okay? I challenge our listening audience to go put their hands on their birth certificate in the next 10 minutes.
Most people don't.
I can assure you that most people have no idea
where it is,
where they can physically find their birth certificate, which means that if they don't have it in hand, they're going to have trouble voting.
Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Welcome back. All right, let's go to Susan. Go ahead, Susan. All right. Phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Sandy, more than anything else, I think what it's telling and what I would say to those on the other side of things from most of the callers that we had on today is if you elect people who aren't intellectual enough to have conversations, adult conversations, big boy conversations, I'd say, without, you know, reverting to they're cheaters. That's all they want to do is cheat. I mean, you would expect that, Sandy. I don't expect that in a high school debate, right? Why should you expect it at the highest level of government in the world?
Well, I'm only smiling because I'm continuing to focus on this birth certificate issue, because I can remember at the presidential level an accusation being made that someone was cheating with respect to running for president based on a citizenship issue and a birth certificate problem, okay? And so, you know, I just think that we've come a long way, and it's a long way in the wrong direction with respect to this whole discussion about the sanctity of our election process. And it's really designed to erode all of the American public with respect to their confidence and the confidence they might have in those that they elect and the election process itself. This notion that elections are rigged or that courts are rigged, that there's a system, a secret conspiracy process that's designed to rob a whole bunch of people of power, of their rights, is something that is very, very invidious, and it's something we need to get over.
He said the courts are rigged.
Rigged.
A United States senator said the jurisprudence of the United States is not right.
Well, the ex-president of the United States has spent a substantial amount of time decrying everything that rules against him as being rigged, that there are people out there out to get him, and those same people are out to get you, okay?
Yeah.
And this is all a part of the deep state, the secret cult of people who are there to rob people of their rights, okay? And this is all the kind of stuff that leads directly to the toppling of our governmental system.
So let's go. Is that Nanley? Okay. We're not there. Okay. So I will say this, Sandy, it's telling. It was more than telling with me, that he could say those things in the public. If you felt that way as a United States senator, you should, you know, say that in a bar somewhere over a beer. But it's telling that you're willing to say that for the whole world to start believing that our nation is, you know, has, you can't trust, you know, the jurisprudence of it.
Well,
and you said this before, if you can't trust the jurisprudence of our nation, what do we have?
Well, that's right. I mean, it destroys the system. Okay, and when the system's gone, what do you replace it with? What does that look like? I think that, you know, the politicians apparently have moments of honesty that they then have to reflect upon and renege. But you know, when he was talking during that clip about how it was that if everyone who had voted for Republicans for Congress, all the Republicans vote for Congress, had voted for the president,
they still would have lost.
No, the president would have won by a lot. Okay, Trump would have won by a lot.
Yeah.
But there were lots of Republicans who didn't vote for Trump, who did vote for Congress people in the state, which proved the fact that he wasn't cheated out of this. But he has to renege on that because that isn't convenient in today's conversation.
Hey, Sandy. When I get out of here, I'm going to bring up Voice Your Choice, and I'm going to play that. Welcome back. Oh, no, we got to go to 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wear a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
Hey, Calvin, I think Sandy's been around his grandsons and granddaughter. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show.
Listen, I want you to know, I listened to that rap all the way through to make sure that it didn't meander into the world of obscene profanity.
As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Let's go back to the phone lines and Jim from Brookfield. Good morning to you, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I just would like to say our beloved Senator Ron Johnson, it is an embarrassment to the state and the citizens of Wisconsin using his nutty conspiracy theories about vaccines, presidential assassins, using terms like deep state and Antiva, which don't even exist. But as Sandy pointed out, most importantly, he's undermining the confidence in our election by questioning, you know, saying things are rigged and questioning the integrity of it. That alone should be disqualifying for a U.S. senator.
Yes.
And I just thought, and I want to say, I really thought it was a missed opportunity in this last election when he ran against a very good candidate, Mandela Barnes.
Yes.
That a bigger issue was not made of his accepting the fake electors prior to the certification, and he just brushed it off by saying, well, that whole issue just took like 20 seconds. And I thought a good campaign ad would have been, hey, how long does it take to commit a crime? You rob a store in 20 seconds, you go to jail. You know, this guy's taking fake electors to undermine our democracy, and he brushes it off on Fox News like nothing happened. So anyway, I hope, you know, three terms, 18 years is plenty. Heaven forbid he gets on another term. You know, for a quarter century, he'd be a senator for 24 years. I mean, give me a break.
Hey,
the man's a disgrace and has to go. So
hey, Jim, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Well, you had Johnson on, and he did just what I expected he would do. You remember when Oshkosh Truck got the contract to build all
new
vehicles for the post office?
Oh, yes, and he was opposed to it.
Well, yeah, when they they got the Oshkosh Truck got the contract, and as soon as they had the contract, they made an announcement they were moving all the work down to Georgia. Well, guess what? Johnson never ever said anything, never tried to get them to bring the work here. And he said, that's none of my business to tell them where to build those vehicles. He has done nothing ever since he got elected. He has done nothing for this state. I'm a retired Teamster. When we needed his help, he did nothing for us. He is a POS, and that's all he is.
I guess we can kind of surmise what that stands for. But Sandy, you know, I still, like I said, he's a United States senator. If he has that mentality, how can you get anything done? It's part of the reason why we can't get things done.
Well, I think this. We were talking before he came on about the MAGA movement within the Republican Party and the Republican Party. And I think that Senator Johnson, like I said before he came on, has cast his lot with the MAGA movement within the Republican Party. And I think at some point the Republican Party is going to have to come to grips with whether it is the MAGA movement or whether it is a party that has some theoretical backbone and some theoretical underpinnings that are associated with conservatism, for instance. And I think at that point, Senator Johnson is going to look back on this time and worry about the extent to which he cast his lot with a movement and not with a theoretical kind of conservatism. And I think there are plenty of people out there who are very reluctant to vote for Donald Trump for very good reason, because they're voting not for a set of principles. They're not voting for a theoretical kind of approach to government. They're voting for an individual, someone who promises to be nothing but the individual. He basically is saying to the public, vote for me. I know what's best, you know. Just there are all kinds of problems which I've made up. Some true, some not. I've made up a lot of stuff here, but take it all with a grain of salt. Because once I get in office, I'm going to make everything good. I'm going to make everything great again. Okay, and that all is something that anyone with their full senses would be very reluctant to vote for. Like I said, he's the guy outside the circus tent, luring everyone in, and most people with their senses don't go in the door.
You know, Sandy, it really is that simplistic when it comes to him and what he offers.
Yeah.
And what people and why people are snookered by him. What you just said is what they see and what they believe in, just believing the things that he says.
Well, I think what he's stroking is individualism and saying, if you're an individualist, if you're a tough guy, if you're a tough individualist, you vote for me, okay? And he's painted a brand that seems to resemble that, and I just worry, because that brand, it's a house of cards. It's an empty suit, so to speak. And so I hope that people wake up. They've got 10 days.
All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. Really appreciate you, the listening audience. As I've said before, you're the show. Thank you, Sandy, again for another great week. We'll talk later. Thank you, Calvin, as well, for another great week. Up next, Jane Madner and Greg Bott. Madner on air. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great weekend.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.